There will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by way of the sea along the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle, every garment rolled in blood, will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Emmanuel, God with us. That was the name given to that baby that was born on that very first Christmas so many years ago. God with us. You know, the desire to be together is powerful. You and I will go to great lengths to be with the people that we love, the people that are important to us. We will travel thousands of miles. We'll spend thousands of dollars to go and to be near, to be with people that we know, that we love, that are important. We feel that pull. And we were made in God's image, and I think God feels that pull too. The need, the desire to be together is strong with God. And the one that he wants to be with is you. You're the one that God loves. You and I are the ones that are so important that God desires to be with us strongly. But we can't be with God in this world because you and I forfeited our closeness to God. And we became trapped away from God by our own sin, our own rebellion. God's desire to be with us didn't change. And so he did what only he could do. We couldn't come to him, so he came to us. The virgin will conceive and bear a son and will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. God spared no amount of effort to come and to be with you. He went to great lengths to be with you and I. In fact, his desire to be with us was so strong that he didn't just come close to us where maybe we could see him from a distance, or he didn't come close enough just so we could hear him perhaps. He came all the way to where we were. He didn't just come close, he moved all in with you and me. He immersed himself in our world. He stepped into our world so that he could be with us, so that he could be close to us. He became like us so that he could be close to us. And he became like us in all the ways that we are. He came into the world the same way that you and I do. He was born as a little baby. And I think as a little baby, he felt the joy and the comfort of a family. I think he felt the love of his mother as she cradled him, caressed him, cared for him, fed him. I think he felt the provision and protection of that didn't take care of him, left him out in the cold. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. He felt the same things you and I did. He entered the world and lived through the same things you and I lived through. That little baby grew up, and I think as he grew up, he did it the same way we do. He learned, and he ate, and he slept, and he worked. He interacted with the people around him. He had brothers and sisters. He interacted with the community he was from. He developed an identity. He was a boy from Nazareth, and that defined him, and those were his people. He grew up just like we did, I think. And as an adult, he lived much the same way we do. He laughed with friends. He dealt with unfriendly people. He felt our emotions. He experienced the good and bad. He breathed our air. He walked our roads. He became like us to be with us. But our life, our world is temporary, and he wanted more than that. Because his desire to be with us was so great that it went beyond just one lifetime. He didn't want some time with us, he wanted all of time with us. And so when he stepped into our world as a man, as a human, and lived the same way we do, he kept something of what he was before. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. That's who it was. It was the Word. What was that? Well, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. This baby boy that was born was just like us, the same as us, but very different. Because he was a man, but he was God. God himself became a person. The Creator became the created thing. And I think he did it for a greater purpose than just a life here. God wanted to be with you and I longer than a lifetime. And so when he came here like us, but different than us. He had a greater purpose, so he had to be a greater man, I think. We read this, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, this man, though he was the same as us in so many ways, was different. He was a perfect man. He was an eternal man because he was God as a man. Like us so many ways, so he could be close to us. Different than us in remarkable ways, so that our closeness with him wouldn't have to end. You see, this man This little baby that was born grew up, and many years later, he gave up his perfect, eternal, earthly life. He sacrificed his earthly body willingly to buy your freedom and to bring you home, so that you and I could be with him not just for a lifetime, but for all of eternity. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And it's worth asking why. Why did God do that? Why Emmanuel? Well, because he loves you and he wants to be with you. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, you are the one that is so important. You are the one that God is so drawn to that he couldn't not be with you. And he longs for that closeness with you, not for a time, but for all time. And so he stepped into our world when we couldn't step out of it. When we were trapped here, separated from God, he stepped in, God as a man, and he surrendered his perfect life for you, to bring you home, so that you and I can spend eternity, Emmanuel, with God. That's the story of Christmas. That's the meaning and the message of Christmas. And my prayer is that each of us would feel and know, and just like the shepherds, when it becomes clear to us that God has stepped into our world, that we, like the shepherds, would run to find him and fall at his knees and let him draw you into that closeness that you long for and that he came for. Father, I just thank you. Jesus, thank you for Emmanuel, that you came to be with us. This Christmas, Lord, may we see that, know that, feel that, and believe that, and run to you. We ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name.